And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Down to four in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen getting together for a conference finals preview. This podcast is a presentation of Bet365. Hockey fans, check out Bet365's three-goal early payout. When your team goes up three, you get paid. It's that simple. Download the app today. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. What's going on, Jake?
Great to be here with the fellas ahead of a couple great conference finals here. Eight of a possible 16 wins that these teams need to win the Stanley Cup here, guys. We do have a couple chalk favorites. Can we find an upset maybe, or are we going to be back here in like a week and a half breaking down a Stanley Cup final?
That's a big question, right? The two decisive favorites going into these respective conference finals means Colorado and Carolina. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Yeah, we're down to four. I think we're not overly shocked with at least two of the teams in Carolina and Colorado, but I think both conference finals should be really good, highly entertaining, and it's been pretty fun so far to watch. Hopefully we get some thrilling overtime games, Nick. I want to stay up late and watch some hockey. Like, oh, give me a double, triple overtime. Let's go.
Yeah, on one note, I'm excited. There's four teams left. We're closer and closer to seeing the Stanley Cup again, but also it's like, oh, I'm going to miss like multi-games on the same night, and we're going to have to focus and laser in on one game specifically. But guys, let's get right into things. Jake, Stanley Cup odds, Colorado +130, Carolina +165, Vegas +600, and the Montreal Canadiens +650. Who do you like right now?
Well, it's tough because obviously I like the two favorites here. I like the Colorado-Carolina Cup Final. I feel like this is where we've been headed for a while. Now we're four wins away on each side from it. Carolina hasn't even lost a game yet, guys. I do think they're going to lose a game in this series. I will say that. I don't think they're going to sweep the Montreal Canadiens, but it does feel like we're on a collision course. Meaning, if you're looking for value, though, I do feel like at this point with four teams left with those odds that Nick just mentioned, you are probably looking at taking a Vegas or a Montreal and seeing, okay, can we pull off an upset here in a conference final? Can I get a +600, a +700 into a cup final? I don't think you're going to get a ton of value at this point, right, with Colorado and Carolina betting to win the cup.
No, I don't think so. I think we talked exact price and before round two, right? If we forecasted Colorado and Carolina, I believe that was like 5-1 at that point. That's gone now. I think, you know, if you do want to get involved in long shots, I'm sure we're going to break down Conn Smythe odds, right? You take a look at a Dobish at 18-1 rather than the Canadians at +650. You take a look at a Mitch Marner at 12-1 to win the Conn Smythe, or a Jack Eichel rather than taking the number on the Vegas Golden Knights. But Nick, I really do like where this Vegas team is at. My bracket did have Vegas over Colorado in this matchup. We'll dive deeper into it, but this is a team that I think can play with the Avs.
Well, naturally, that's the big question for me, guys. Who's more likely or likelier to pull off the upset? Is it Vegas or is the Montreal Canadiens? You look at these series prices, pretty comparable. Colorado -270, Vegas +220, Carolina -260, Montreal +210. But I think a lot of people will side with the Montreal Canadiens, but maybe there's some sneaky appeal here, Jake. In Vegas, we don't know the extent of Cale Makar's injury status. Mark Stone's another one for me in that series. Yeah. But hey, guys, I was looking last night. Remember that flyer I took on Carter Hart to win the Conn Smythe Trophy? Unlikely to happen. I think I got it at +20,000. Like, it's, you never know. I mean, goaltending's so big this time of year, Jake.
Well, and we could get into some Conn Smythe conversation. I wouldn't rule out your ticket yet, Nick. Obviously, he's going to have a great conference final and a great Stanley Cup final. There's a lot of recency bias in that award. As great as somebody can be through two rounds, you got to have to continue to be great through the next two rounds, and somebody could kind of come from the middle of the pack. You can't do nothing for the first two rounds and then win it, but if you're just kind of, you know, having an okay, you know, first two rounds, then you just turn it on in the important games. You could certainly win that Conn Smythe. And Meany, to answer Nick's question as well, I would side with Montreal as the team I think has the better chance here to pull off an upset. And the only reason I say that is Jakub Dobish. I'm not reading too much into the regular season record. I know there's going to be a lot made of the fact that Montreal was able to beat Carolina in the regular season. I'm not reading much into that, but I'm reading a lot into what Jakub Dobish has done in this postseason and the fact that maybe he can frustrate Carolina enough to steal a couple games, get that energy going at the Bell Center in the Habs home games. I think that you could make a case there for an upset.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's a couple things going for the Canadians. One, the 12 days off for the Hurricanes is lengthy, the longest here in the modern era. You look at the eight series in the playoffs, where the last eight, where one team swept coming off a sweep, another team coming off a game seven win, seven of the eight off the game seven win have gone to win that series. So there's a couple things like that's just a weird stat. It's really hard to, you know, say that that's a trend that's going to continue, but Montreal has shown that they're a resilient team. They haven't lost two straight games since mid-March. It's a 30 game span. And also Nick, we look at this Carolina Hurricanes team, what's been their issue this round, the conference finals. You look at Frederik Andersen, he's lost six of the last seven games in the conference finals and the Hurricanes are 0-3 in the last 8 years in this round.
That's exactly it. That has been the kryptonite for the Carolina Hurricanes, and that's why I think the start for this series is so crucial. And guys, I'm going to be hunting the under early on, at least, to see like a feel out with this series. More so around the goaltending. You look at Freddie Andersen, 8-0-0, 1.12, 950, two shutouts. Dobish, 6-0-0, 1.77, 942 after a loss. So I expect a low-scoring, tight-checking type series. That's, you know, more times than not how Carolina plays the game anyways, but that's probably the way, Jake, I'm going to play it early on. Do you have any difference in opinion there?
Well, I'm very curious what style of hockey we get. I think we could get a little bit of a blend. You mentioned it maybe being a bit lower scoring. I could see Carolina trying to do the 3-1 type thing, win those style of games. And Montreal's played two vastly different series here, means, right? That Tampa series felt like it was stuck in the mud. Then all of a sudden, the Buffalo series just completely opened up. We had high scoring games, a lot of white ice out there. I think that white ice is going to disappear in this round. Carolina, we know what they do well. They suffocate you. I think Montreal is going to find that out. But then also think, hey, we kind of did this against Tampa. We can maybe revert back to that round one style that we did have success with and we were able to win that series. You know where I'm going here, guys. Jakub Dobish save prop. The Vladar prop was so good to us last round. We know Carolina. I think Carolina is going to run up the shot clock. I think they're going to play a lot in Montreal's end. We're going to have to play it pretty high. I believe 29.5 is the opening number here for the over saves, but I still do like it. I think Dobish is going to have his hands full with this Hurricanes team.
Guys, Dobish, rookie eligible. I mean, doing what he's doing, winning two game sevens. His team was outplayed for long stretches of both of those games. I mean, this is crazy what he's done. And now when you look at the shot attempts at 5-on-5 percentage in the regular season series, it was like 2/3 to Carolina. So does the clock strike midnight on Dobish in this series? I would say probably, because I don't know if they could keep up that trend going up against the best possession giant in the whole league.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to dive into regular season numbers too much. I know, Nick, you alluded to it, 3-0 against the Hurricanes this year, Dobish and net for all those games. But those two games near the end of March, they mattered. Carolina played their guys. They were fighting for home ice. The Canadians were fighting for the division. And Pete mentions the shot attempts percentage of 5-5. It was 67-32 in favor of the Hurricanes. They absolutely dominated those games. But Dobish shot 75 of 78. He had the 961. The Canadians were opportunistic like they have been throughout the postseason. They got to Freddie Andersen, who is a net in both of those games. And if you look overall, the Hurricanes have lost four games over the last 23 hockey games and two of them against Montreal. So I think that they can play with them, but Jake, you're spot on. There's going to be a lot of rubber thrown at Dobish's way. There's going to be multiple games where he's facing 35, 40 shots. It's just the way the Hurricanes play in general. So it is going to be probably, if they do win, it's going to be on his back.
Guys, one other thing to watch for Montreal that I thought was a crazy stat that I heard, that they hadn't lost consecutive games since mid-March. I mean, if they drop game one, jump on them for game two. If they drop game four, maybe look at them on the road to pull an upset in game five. You know, they are 6-2 this postseason on the road. That's tough to do. So clearly St. Louis pushing the right buttons here and finding ways to win even when his team's getting outplayed.
Well, Nick, Montreal's going to have to find a way to win one of these two games in Carolina, right? We saw how that worked out for the previous two teams that have faced the Canes so far. You start in Carolina, you lose those two games, you're chasing the series, and you might get a game that's really close with Carolina, and I think that's, again, where Montreal is going to have to win. You get into that close game. Happened with Philly, I believe it was game two of that series, where they had their chances. That was the game they could have won. They didn't, and then the series was basically over after that. So if the Habs find themselves in one of those games, overtime game, Dobish is playing really well. They got to find a way to score that goal. And the one thing I will say about the Habs, Nick, is they always seem to find a way to score that goal when they need to, even when they are getting outplayed. So that's something I'm looking for early on in that series.
I'll be monitoring the rest versus rust debate. Carolina's played 8 games, 14 for Montreal, and I really felt like in game 6 and 7, there was a fatigue factor that was masked a bit by Montreal's defensive play. by the goaltending Jakub Dobish. But a big story for me means too has been Montreal's depth. It seems like every night there's somebody new who's contributing big time, whether it's an Alex Newhook 7 goals here in 14 Stanley Cup playoff games, a Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher's chipped in. When you're coming in waves like that, you're difficult to beat. Now, the cool thing about this series is that's how Carolina prides itself as well. How often do we talk about it in the fantasy world, guys, where it's like they don't really have a first line. They come at you with four straight lines. I compare it a lot to like the St. Louis Blues a couple years ago when they had Alex Steen in their fourth line.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on. And we look at the Hurricanes, and this isn't any disrespect to say that they don't have any superstar players. They have really good players. You look at Montreal, Lane Hudson, Suzuki, Caulfield, right? Suzuki hitting 100 points, Caulfield 50. You talk about Dobish, looks like he's going to be a pretty good goalie in the NHL. But the Hurricanes have just all kinds of balance. I'm already thinking about matchups, and I'm sure Rod Brendamore is going to have that stall line against Suzuki. You know, Canadians are probably going to counter with Deneau against the Aho line, and then we'll see what was Montreal's best line in the second line, in Demidoff, Newhook, and Evans, probably up against the Stankoven line with Hall and Blake, which has been the best line as well. So there's a lot of matchups here to kind of dive into. But Jake, you know, when Nick talks about secondary scoring, the depth, the Canadians have 14 guys with 5-plus points. Now, it helps to have 14 games on the resume, but Colorado has 9, Vegas is 10, Carolina, of course, only 4, having played 8 games. But up and down the lineup, everybody has chipped in, and the top line has been fairly quiet at 5-5. They have had success against the Hurricanes this year, but they probably will need their top line to be their top line to get by the Hurricanes.
1,000%. And I think even looking at the Western Conference final, guys, it's unbelievable. We've gone about 10 minutes or so, haven't mentioned the name Mitch Marner, because obviously you want to sort of create a narrative or a storyline as to how, Jake, Vegas will dethrone the Colorado Avalanche. I think all four of us would agree that they're the odds-on favorite to win, the cup favorite at that rate now, but this is why they play the games. And for me, it starts with Mitch Marner. Like, he destroyed Utah, he destroyed Anaheim, he's got 18 points, leads the entire Stanley Cup playoffs in points, but this is going to be the true determining factor for me where Mitch Marner is at in the playoffs here with the Vegas Golden Knights, a very different opponent, I would say, in Colorado, Jake.
Very, very different. This is where the rubber meets the road here for Mitch Marner, and that whole narrative, and I know there's a lot of varying opinions out there, some genuine, some not genuine. I feel like some people want to maybe diminish what he's done because it's Utah and Anaheim. Others just want to dunk on the Leafs and say, look what he's doing. And the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. Look, it is Utah and Anaheim. It is the Pacific Division. We talked all year about how bad that division is. I also don't want to take away from stepping up in those key games. And Anaheim, as much as they were inexperienced, no pushover, I think they were still a good team worthy of being in the second round. But yeah, Nick's right, Meany. Colorado is a completely different animal. I'm not saying Marner can't do it, but I think I'm going to need to see it to believe it first against a team like the Avs. And I'm having trouble here. I don't want to get too duped into the Vegas Golden Knights after running through the Pacific Division. We knew somebody was going to have to come through that side of the bracket. These first couple games, I'm very excited to watch to see if Vegas can keep up with Colorado, because as we know, all year, the Central has just been a completely different animal.
You're right, but at the same time, I mean, I like this team at 5-5. They had the worst save percentage of 5-5 all year long, right? They didn't have heart all year. I know, Nick, you're a guy, but they didn't get the saves and they didn't really get the goals at 5-5. But when you look overall at their body of work at 5-5, third fewest shots allowed, second fewest high danger shots allowed, third in shot differential, sixth in shot attempts percentage. It's not to say Colorado wasn't elite in those categories either, but Vegas was. So I think that they're a team that can slow them down at 5-5. Again, lowest expected goals against rate at 5-5. Shout out to Natural Stat Trick, fewest high danger chances. So this is a stingy hockey team, and I look at some of their players. Like, we're giving love to Marner offensively. He's a great two-way player. He's probably better defensively than he is offensively. I love his style of play. You know, his stick is great. He can kill penalties. He's got 4 shorthanded points. Brett Howden's, you know, chipping in there. They bring in William Karlsson, who's a great two-way player. We know that Jack Eichel is a shutdown center as well. So, you know, missing Mark Stone is huge, but they have some guys, Nick, that can make it muddy for Colorado, like slow them down a little bit. And if they can get that goaltending, I really truly believe that they're going to hang around with Colorado.
Well, that's the key, and it's very Tortorella-esque the way this team plays. They've really taken on the DNA of their head coach. But the big thing for me, why I have Colorado in this series, is Mark Stone, and it's so unfortunate. Yeah. This guy is such a clutch player, but nowhere to be found. I think the last game he played was game 3 of the last series back on May 8th against It's going to be an uphill battle. I think when you're playing a dog like Nathan MacKinnon too, who's got six straight games with a goal of seven in total, I think the odds on favor right now to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, which we'll get to a bit later on. But I think Means hit it, Jake. Like, goaltending's so pivotal. I talked about it off the top. Carter Hart's been a great story, reuniting with John Tortorella. 8 wins, 2.37, a 9.17. Jake, who finishes this series for Colorado? Because that's where in lies the intrigue for me, because of what happened here against Minnesota, where it was Wedgwood. There's Blackwood.
It's nice. There's a lot of wood in this series for the Colorado Avalanche. Now, you'd love to just have one guy take game one and ride it the rest of the series. But as we know, these things go up and down, and you have your moments. And I think if you're Colorado, it's nice to know that you do have somebody you can go to. I have a feeling, and Meany was doing a good sales pitch to me on Vegas, even though I'm still taking Colorado in this series. Those 5-on-5 numbers are making me go, okay, maybe this is going to be a bit of a longer series than I thought initially going in. Mark Stone injury does play a factor here as well, but Meany, I think you're going to see both goaltenders for Colorado. I don't think this is going to be a straight line. I don't look at this as a quick five game series where they're not going to have at least one bump in the road. I think it's nice that Colorado has both, and I'm still questioning Carter Hart. I know credit to him for getting to this point, but he has had some games where I've gone, okay, he looks a little bit lost, and things can get away from you very quickly against the Colorado Avalanche, as a lot of goaltenders have found out this postseason.
Hart is the reason I have a little bit of pause for Vegas. Again, I think that they can play with Colorado, but we're not breaking news. I think we can all agree he's probably the X factor in this series for Vegas, because the Avs are going to score. You mentioned Nate MacKinnon. My goodness, he's got 12 goals in his last 16 playoff games. He's like fifth all time in goals per game, minimum 35 games. Like, in terms of points, he's fifth. Like, it's 1.32. It's remarkable. You know what he is, the body of work from MacKinnon, not just in these playoffs, but throughout. And if you remember, they were up 2-0 on Vegas a few years ago. They were up in that game three, and all of a sudden the Golden Knights went on 1-4 straight. So there's a little bit of a rivalry peep between these two teams. And I can't tell you about Colorado. I was shocked that Bednar went to Blackwood, because I thought Wedgwood was good. It made me think that the leash was extremely short for Wedgwood, but I do believe it's his series. But man, my goodness, Vegas can score, and if he gets lit up game or two, we could see the other wood in there.
When you look at the motivation back from that series, there's just so much motivation on Colorado's end. There's so much talent. They're as deep as anybody. They got two goalies to turn to. I don't see anybody beating Colorado in a seven-game series. Minnesota just gave them everything they could handle over each of the five games, and it ended in five. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, I mean, props to everybody else for having a chance and getting to this point, but I really am still high on Colorado, highest. And you can combine the plus 175 Conn Smythe from MacKinnon, who I do believe will win it this year. If they win it, and you can get them still at a plus number, plus 130, put those together, and you're looking at a very safe bet, all things considered.
I'm surprised, just like you, Pete, how clean this has been for Colorado, the way they disposed of L.A. Then, like, Minnesota, that was my cup final. I'm sorry, guys. And maybe I'm beating on Vegas too much, and I think they're a really good team, but I don't think they're Minnesota. I don't think they're Colorado. I don't think they're Carolina. They're probably in a secondary tier for me, albeit Tortorella's done a great job, but they're a bit battered and bruised. And that's the story for me, Jake, is like how clean this has been for Colorado, and the rest has been vital for this team too. We talked about Makar's injury a bit.
Not that we need to get into any details, but I think they've added to their villain status a little bit as well going into this series. I don't think they're making too many friends right now. I think that's hyping this series up a little bit, right? Obviously, if you're a Vegas fan, you're cheering for Vegas, Colorado for Colorado. But I think for the rest of the league, maybe, and I think it's great to have villains in any league or in and any sport, whatever it might be. One player I'm really looking at, Meany, going into this series on the Colorado side is Gabriel Landeskog, who's showing me that he's healthy. He's back to being Landeskog again, playing up on that top line with the big boys, getting first power play time as well. He's somebody I'm going to be looking at early in this series, because I still think you're getting some value on his props, whether that's for a point or for shots on goal. Landeskog's someone I'm going to be looking to these first couple of games.
Yeah, I noticed he's roughly plus 140 for the three shots. I think he's 40-1 to lead the series in goals, and he's 80-1 to lead the series in shots. We know MacKinnon's probably going to going to do that. One final note here on Vegas, just what I'll say about the Kings. Kopitar, near the end of his career, Byfield struggled, no depth down the center of the ice, really. And how about Minnesota? No Joel Eriksson Ek in that series. Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect, but Hartman is your center one? Come on. So who's going to be able to match up against Colorado down the middle of the ice? Talked about it. Eichel, Carlson, Hurdle. Those are three capable centers that can go toe-to-toe with McKinnon, Brock Nelson, and Kadri. So that's why I feel like Vegas will battle test them more so than the other teams that they faced.
I like this. This is the call of the year. I mean, this was the individual who called Logan Stankoven to rip up the world in round one. So I might have to change my bet here and go with Vegas and means. Anyways, we're going to hit the break. Other side, plenty to talk about, guys. We'll talk about Conn Smythe odds. We'll dive into some series prices, too. And also some smaller bets, some props that we like. PD props coming in as well. So don't go anywhere. NHL Fantasy on Ice continues.
Adnan Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two. The only place I'd like to see Sid go is Colorado. Yeah. That's really it.
Is there a chance the NHL returns to Arizona someday where you played?
Baby, come back. You could do it all. Me.
Yes, we're coming back. Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. This show is a presentation of Bet365, home of the three-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL. Hockey fans, tired of waiting for the end of the game to get paid, ready to move on to the next puck drop? That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, has three-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up three goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey moves fast, and now with three-goal early payout, there's one less thing you have to wait around for. Bet365, download the app and see what early payout's all about. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. Jake, why don't we start with Conn Smythe odds. Nathan McKinnon plus 175 leading the way. I think normally when it's late in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I start to tick off names and say, like, who is a legitimate shot to win this one? I think McKinnon's there, guys. I'm not crazy about the odds on Freddie Anderson. There's halfway to go here, and I think if Carolina's winning the Cup, I'd look to a Stankoven or an Aho, even an outsider like a Taylor Hall. Especially from the Colorado perspective, if you think Colorado's winning the Cup, Jake, I think it's an easy bet. I think it's Nathan McKinnon.
I do too. I think right now, even at plus 175, hey, it's still plus money. And if you want to just say, I think the Avs are winning the Cup, I'll take Nathan McKinnon. I think I'd probably just rather play their Cup number, though, just in terms of the odds. And where I would look for value, meaning from one of the top teams here, and thinking if we are getting that Colorado-Carolina Cup final, I think I would look down the board on some of these Carolina Hurricanes players. Yes, it's been all Logan Stankoven so far, but they've got 8 more wins if they're going to win the Stanley Cup here. Sebastian Aho is way down there at 50-1. Maybe we say, hey, does he have a great conference final, a great cup final, some big moments, and he sort of swings it and gets those points closer to where Stankoven is? Does it become more the top line in Carolina, where it's been the second line for the first couple rounds here? I think that's where I would go for value right now, maybe buy the dip on guys like Aho, maybe even Jarvis if you want to go real deep down the board.
Yeah, it's been that line that has given the Canadiens fits over the past couple of years. In fact, Aho has 25 points in his last 16 games against Montreal, 7 multi-point games over that span. He had a 5-point game against them earlier this year. Actually, I'd like him to lead the series in points.
Me too.
Plus 425. I know it's not a... When you're sitting there and you're looking at Stankoven 17-1, Hall 22-1, Blake 22-1, I mean, it's hard not to want to sprinkle those guys, but I think that this top line for Carolina, Aho, Jarvis, and Svechnikov will show up. So I like that show by you there, Jake. I agree. I don't really love the Freddie number. I think his numbers are going to come down to earth here a little bit. I don't think the Canadians are going to put a lot of rubber towards him, but they're very opportunistic, so those ratios could get shattered just a touch. But for me, again, you know, kind of back to Vegas, you know, you talked about the 18 points in 12 games for Marner. He leads or co-leads in primary assists, shorthanded points, multi-point games, 3-point games, 4-point games, game-winning goals, hat tricks, road goals. He's been everything for them. So, I take a look at him, or I take a look at Jack Eichel. And, you know, Nick, like Jake said, your heart ticket's still alive. If they are going to get by Colorado or win the Stanley Cup, he's going to have 3 or 4 sharp games. And I remember Jonathan Marchessault won the Conn Smythe, and he didn't really do a whole lot until this last 2 rounds. So, you know, you kind of have to look at some of these guys who could show up. So there's a couple value plays there.
Yeah, it tells you this market right now is wide open, even from the Montreal perspective. It looks dovish right now, plus 2,200. Don't sleep on Lane Hutson as well, at plus 2,200. There's a lot of value, I think, overall defined when it comes to Conn Smythe odds. In general, from the bets perspective here, guys, in the conference finals, I'm probably looking at the Vegas-Colorado over in game one. Talked earlier on about the dovish saves prop that Jake brought up. I like the under as well with Carolina-Montreal here, at least in game one. I'm going to parlay Colorado and Carolina. I really, really wrestled with Montreal here. I like the way they're playing. I think they can sneak up on Carolina. I think it was a great point by Means bringing up, like, this has been the demon for the Carolina Hurricanes. Nobody's talking about this at all, but the Canes always get to the third round, and they have just severe diarrhea, guys. So we'll see if that will change here. I'm going to parlay it, Jay. Colorado, Carolina, minus 113 to advance to the finals here.
You're right about the Canes' history in conference finals. It's not been kind. I've basically said all year, I don't think their downfall is going to be scoring this year. I think this is the deepest scoring team that we've seen in Carolina. We haven't really seen them even score with their top line throughout the course of this postseason. Goaltending was the one thing I was worried that might hold them back. So far, so good. But obviously, that could change at any moment. Meaning, this would be a disaster for Carolina to not take advantage of this. I have tons of respect for Montreal. I think they're going to be in a few of these here in recent times as they continue to build up this team. They're going to get their shots in conference finals and possibly cup finals, but this is as good of an opponent as Carolina could have asked for here. Sort of still a relatively inexperienced Habs team. They're big favorites in this series. They've played beasts like Florida in the past. This is the time for Carolina. The narrative surrounding the Canes, if they don't win this series, I'm scared for what that offseason could look like, Pete.
Guys, one guy who looks like he's due right now is Slafkovský. You could get him at plus 900 to lead the series in goals. I think if they win that series and pull the upset, he's going to have to be important. He's going to have to get into the dirty areas like he already has. Leads the NHL playoffs in high danger shots on goal with 19, but he's going to have to cash in. So that's a big one for me. 3+ shots on goal in 5 of the 7 games against Buffalo, but only had 1 goal in the whole series. So I think he's knocking at the door right now.
Yeah, he does lead the Canadians in shots in the series. There's two props I like. Well, it's a couple. I mean, there's tons. But the future here, Vegas and Colorado over 5.5. Montreal, Carolina over 5.5. You can parlay that together at plus 175. I think, like, we'll see 6 games. I'm with you on the Hurricanes. Like, I'm a big believer in learning how to lose before you learn how to win. And my goodness, if the Hurricanes don't get this done, I think we could see some massive changes. it kind of go both ways, right? Young team in Montreal, youngest of the playoffs, second in the NHL. You're getting a taste of the conference finals, another juggernaut. I think it may just be too much for them. But Carolina on the series spread, minus 1.5 is just minus 135. And then Vegas on the opposite side, plus 1.5 on the series spread is plus 100. But I think we'll see that series go 7, Vegas and Colorado, and that's plus 240.
All right, boys, let's go around the table. Me, Jake, then Means, and Pete, your picks. I got Colorado over Vegas, 5 games. 5 games. Ooh. Montreal over Carolina, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going Carolina over Montreal in 6 games. So I'm changing my focus there. I'm going to go with the two favorites. I know it's a cop-out, but I right there what Means said. Like, there has to be a moment where Carolina finally pushes through here in the conference final. I like Colorado to win the cup, so I'm expecting a Colorado-Carolina Stanley Cup final, Jake.
I'm going chalky here as well. I am going Canes in 6. I got to stick with the Canes. They've been good to me so far. I do think Montreal and Dobish are going to squeeze a couple games out of them. And Meanie sold me on Vegas with a couple more games. I think I came in here going Colorado in 5. I think this is going to be a quick one. I disregard the Pacific Division. But that center ice battle, I do think this will be the stiffest battle that Colorado's faced so far. So Meanie, you squeezed a couple more games out of me. I'm going to go Colorado in 7, though. And we get a classic in the Western Conference final. Wouldn't that be great to watch those two teams go in 7 games? I will still take Colorado to get it done, though.
I guess I didn't talk up William Karlsson enough for you.
No. could have bought one more game. Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Hurricanes in 6, and I have Vegas in 7. Of course, if you've been listening, I'm clearly on them. But a couple futures. You know, we talked about Dobish's save props. You know, there's a pretty cool market over at Bet365. It's like 2+ shots in every game. It's tough to do, but Stan Coven is +320 for 2+ in every game. He's 25-1, 3+ in every game. I think he could take some shots on Stankoven, Svechnikov, Ehlers, And Jarvis is guys that, you know, it's plus money for 2+ shots every game. Long numbers here, like Blake, 2+ shots in every game, 8-1. Taylor Hall, 10-1. 3+ shots for those guys in every game, 100-1. So you can take a couple stabs because the Hurricanes are first in offensive zone time percentage and their first in shot attempts percentage. Like we talked about, Dobish is going to see a lot of rubber in this series.
I will also go with Colorado over Carolina in the Cup final. I had Colorado at the beginning, and I'm starting to be a believer in the Hurricanes. I think they're going to overwhelm Montreal. Even if the games are close, they're going to lock it down over the course of the series and knock them off. On Montreal's side, though, I did want to mention plus 350 anytime goal for Alex Newhook in game one. This guy is crazy right now. He's got the game-winning goals in each of the first two game sevens on the road, right? He had 6 goals scored in the Montreal-Buffalo series. Crazy what he's doing in a depth role. And that's a guy that used to play on the Avs. So maybe he could keep this going and keep that depth scoring going for Montreal.
Nick, one before you wrap up, I feel like you may like this one because you've talked about rest versus like non-rest. The Hurricanes are plus 450 to lose game one, but win the series. What do you think about that? Like the Canadians could go in, not a lot of, you know, a ton of rest for Carolina. Maybe they go in and steal one, and then the Hurricanes still find a way to win that series. I think that's an interesting market.
I think that's a possibility. Yeah. I'm very intrigued to see like what Carolina looks like after just a long, long period of time off. And, you know, it's unfortunate from a revenge angle. Jesperi Kotkaniemi is a very expensive, healthy scratch right now. So is Patrick Laine on the other side. We all know the parallels with Aho, with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and I'm really, really looking forward to both conference finals here. Guys, great job today, and we'll reconvene in a couple weeks from now for the Stanley Cup final preview. It's crazy how quickly time flies. For Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberg. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.